What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at FightfulSelect.com. It is the Q&A show. Let's go ahead and get into it. You may notice that I switched the days a little bit. I am releasing this on a Wednesday. Normally, I do the NXT AEW review on Wednesday, but full disclosure, I'm recording this before that. I'm watching the vice presidential debate as AEW and NXT are happening. I'll be watching NXT and AEW a little bit after that, and then giving you all my review. So let's go ahead and get into it. Again, thank you all so much for submitting questions. I really appreciate it. I especially appreciate the community and environment we've kind of cultivated here on FightfulSelect.com. Lots of progress being made on getting this on the main site, and you guys are going to love it. We've got a bunch of new content ideas as well, so it's going to be really, really awesome. Josh Wilburn says, SRS, do you think Shinsuke goes back to New Japan or AEW when his deal is up? I feel like his main roster run isn't what I wanted or anticipated. I don't think it's what anybody anticipated, but no, I think he'll stay with WWE. Everybody seems to say that he's happy there, but it's easy for me to say. I don't speak to Shinsuke Nakamura. Wish I did. That'd be a very interesting conversation. That's an interview I want to do down the line, but I don't think he leaves. Rob says, do you think the evil turn was done prematurely, given that Jay White returned like a month later and he dropped both titles back to Naito almost immediately? No, I don't. I think they set up evil as a person who is in the conversation forevermore. He is always going to be in the conversation now as far as top guys. Aiden says, refs, don't know much about them. How do they become refs? How do they apply, train, and who's over them? And finally, what's the ref salary? I'm not going to talk to you about what the ref salary is because it varies. They have a lot of different duties. Some of them time out matches. Some of them are producers. But they go to wrestling school. A lot of them learn how to wrestle before they ref. But most of them learn to be a ref. They end up refing a local show. They pay their dues. And they become a ref. Then there are some that were wrestlers on the independent circuit, and WWE brings them in for referee tryouts and without really any refing experience. WWE had brought in Thunder Rosa, or we're going to bring in Thunder Rosa as a tryout, as a ref. Is marijuana popular in wrestling? Is it illegal in sports entertainment? It is popular in wrestling. It is not nearly as illegal, so to speak, in sports entertainment as in years past. There is a little bit of testing for it, but I'll have some more on that soon. Jack Gallagher, he has put up an account, an admission from speaking out on his Twitter. Having heard other stories, with the greatest respect to women, could he have not had sensitivity training and salary donation to victims of abuse? This was not a grave offense. Should Jack ever get a second chance? I feel real weird answering that one. I believe that almost anybody should get a second chance. Nobody's beyond messing up, but that one is not for me to say in that situation. I was not there. I do not know what happened. I do not know how things happened. So that one is really not for me to decide. It's for Jack and whoever his future employers or potential employers might be. I can tell you that I have friends that have been named in the speaking out movement, former friends now, that admitted things and severed ties. Will I become friends with them again? It's hard for me to think that I will, but you never know what your life can hold or anything like that. It's still very fresh. It was a few months ago this stuff came out. Ed says, do you know if each brand has its own set of producers or agents in WWE, or are they all intermingled throughout the show? They did. I don't know if they still do. I don't get the scripts. I don't look at the scripts as often. I could still get them if I wanted to. The rundowns, rather. But I don't look at them as much. And they started to withhold that information fairly often. Ed says, do you know of the working relationships between agents and the writers in WWE? Do they work together to create cohesion between a story arc and the matches? Or do they just work independently of each other? They do work together often, not as much as they should. They should be a little bit more cohesive there, but they do on occasion. Mark says, can you see Shotzi Blackheart winning the NXT Women's title at some point? Yeah, I think she will. I think that she is a really good talent, especially in the ring. My God, once she puts the character stuff together and the promo stuff together and the delivery, I think she'll be there. Sometimes I think her delivery is a little bit like a dating show on MTV where you can tell they're scripted. But I think that she's just going to get better and better. She's really, really good. Mark says, are they trying to turn Bianca Belair heel with these Mr. Perfect-like vignettes? I don't think so. To me, I want to cheer for somebody who's good at stuff. Should Candice LeRae have beaten Io Shirai at TakeOver? I say yes. And then Ember beats Candice, Dakota beats Ember, then Io beats Dakota to become two-time NXT Women's Champ. They do not have four title wins ahead booked. I mean, four title wins ahead is probably a year, year and a half for them. It's just, they don't have it booked like that. And you don't know when any of those names you mentioned might get the call for NXT. I don't know what's going to happen in the draft. They're playing it very close to the vest. Most of the NXT talent doesn't know if they're going up or not. But I would be shocked if Candice and Johnny weren't called up. One of our favorites, Sheila, says, are they going to keep Retribution and Hurt Business exclusively on Raw after the draft? Seems a little faction-heavy for one of the main roster shows. I wish they would go the AEW route or the 1998 route when they had factions everywhere. They had Nation of Domination, Los Boricuas, DOA, D-Generation X, Kai and Tai, Truth Commission, the NWA. They had a lot of them. And I dug that. I like that. I like the faction-based stuff. I think they probably will keep Hurt Business and Retribution on the same show so they can do 15 straight... Oh, it'll be 30 with the amount of people they have. 30 straight matches. I think they will. Sheila says, it's nice to see Kairi Sane again. Is she just an ambassador, or does she have a bigger role than that, especially after the whole NXT Japan thing fell through? I'm not sure what's going on now. I've been trying to figure it out since like February when I first heard that she was given one of these spots. There were much grander plans at play for what WWE was going to do with Kairi Sane in Japan, but she made it very clear that she wanted to head back to Japan and finish up in America. However, COVID put a damper on everything in NXT Japan, and that ain't happening anytime soon. But I know that WWE wants to maintain that relationship with Kairi. They were not concerned about her going to AEW. They were not concerned about her going to Ring of Honor or Impact or anywhere like that, but they wanted to keep her as a part of the family. And finally, Sheila asked, with Harold May leaving New Japan, does this affect AEW at all? Would New Japan continue to feature AEW wrestlers occasionally on their tours, but not have an official working relationship where they can exchange talent? All of the talent in AEW that I speak with, and I'll have more on this later this week, but they want this to happen. They understand the benefits of it. There are some that don't really plan on going over there. They're just like, I don't mind. But everybody that matters in that space and that will go over there want it to happen. And AEW has, as mentioned, creatively crafted their contracts to make sure that is a possibility. And it's supplemental income for these people. For all these people that are leaving WWE, like The Revival, now FTR, they can supplement their income with AEW and Japan if they want. So that crazy downside guarantee that WWE offered them and then would have fired them on, can be supplemented, so to speak, with creative satisfaction, with the ability to do third-party stuff and sell your own merchandise, the ability to work New Japan, the ability to work AEW. There were many in AEW that I spoke with that thought that Harold May was a roadblock to making that happen. If I am New Japan, I work with AEW, hands down. Hands down, work with AEW. All due respect to Ring of Honor. I think that Jay Lethal, Jonathan Gresham, Dalton Castle, and the Briscoes are exceptional talent that you would want to bring over to New Japan and work with and do that and do stuff with them if you could. They aren't in the women wrestling business, so Maria Manic doesn't really mean a thing as far as New Japan goes. I think Shane Taylor is a guy who could do well in Japan. I think that PCO could have a little bit of an attraction. I think that Matt Taven has a little bit of appeal. I don't know what Marty Scurll's future is. I think Joe Hendry is going to be a big star in America eventually. But those, the ones that I mentioned, Jay Lethal, Jonathan Gresham, the Briscoes, Dalton Castle, they're the ones I see with the most upside as it relates to Japan. But then you look at the AEW roster, and they all, AEW is just filled with people who have drawn in Japan. So if I'm New Japan, I say, you know what? They went, they did something, they succeeded. We had some hurt feelings. Let's fix that bridge, get over it, and work with these people. And I think that they'll have an opportunity to do that now that Harold May is out of the way. Brian says, do you miss any athletic social hobbies during this pandemic? I'm just north of 40. My grappling hobbyist weekend warrior days are largely done, but the pandemic makes me miss it even more than usual. Yeah, I miss grappling. I miss wrestling. I was about to get back into the gym and do catch wrestling full time again in March. I had started to train for a match that I was doing. I have not competed in many matches since Fightful. I didn't compete in a ton before that, but I would do maybe four or five a year before Fightful, and then it became like one or two. But I like wrestling. I really miss wrestling, but I like training to wrestle too. I like learning different things, different transitions. I like going in and taking bumps. More than anything, I like to get in there and chain wrestle and learn reversals and transitions and stuff. And I haven't felt safe doing that. And now it's to the point to where my wife is going to get in the gym with me and do it just because I miss it so much. And as Brian said, cool to hear you and your wife hitting the wrestling memorabilia place, new hobby, good stuff. Yeah, free plug for my friend Nathan at it's Toy Vomit on Instagram and Real Toy Vomit at Twitter. I go to Toy HQ a couple times a month. I love it. I was not big into wrestling figures or anything, but to be quite frank, I hit a bit of a depression during this pandemic. It wasn't a bit of a depression. I was depressed. And I tried to familiarize myself with things that made me happy in my youth or my younger days. So I played some more video games. I started to rewatch Burn Notice because that was like really the first drama show, action show that I watched. And then I started to collect some action figures that I stopped collecting when I was like 13 or 14, the Jax BCAs. So I started to do that stuff to kind of cheer myself up and make myself happier. But I don't miss like competitively grappling as much. Honestly, doing pro wrestling matches satisfied my creative urges. But I miss creating. I miss getting in the gym and trying out new moves and new submissions and inventing new moves and stuff like that. I really miss that. So I got to get back in there. But I just don't feel safe doing that with a large group. Josh says, do you think we eventually get Sister Abigail as Alexa's alter ego? The possibilities have me intrigued. I do. I think they'll like pass it on to her, so to speak, and I'm sure they're going to screw it up. To be honest with you, there are not a lot of things creatively that they've done with The Fiend that I've enjoyed. Firefly Funhouse is usually good. The match, the WrestleMania match, was unbelievably good. The original portrayal of The Fiend and Bray Wyatt in those fun houses was good, and the debut was good. I was there live for it. But other than that, it's been pretty bad. Zach says, if you could round up a number of how many New Japan or WWE wrestlers have inquired about working for AEW or any other wrestling promotion in the lead up to their contract expiring. I don't know what you mean. I can tell you that I have personally, since AEW started on January 1st, 2019, including people that have since left and have not since left, I have talked to at least two dozen people across Impact, Ring of Honor, New Japan, and WWE, and MLW about the possibilities of AEW or something like that. I've also talked to a ton of people about the possibilities of them working in WWE. So, I mean, it's not that unrealistic. I talk to a lot of wrestlers about their contract status and where they want to go. Jobber says, "Hey, Sean, how much Impact have you been watching, and what are your thoughts since the buzz from Slammiversary? Great week, and FTF. The people at Impact and Access are very good to us. They realize that on a Tuesday evening, I have places that I would rather be than sitting in front of a TV when we watch wrestling Monday, Wednesday, Friday, usually Sunday as well. They send us screener copies, so I get to take in the show early Tuesday afternoon usually. Here's the thing, if a show is like 80, 90 minutes long, no commercials, I'm probably going to enjoy it. I like it a lot more since they've stopped doing all the Wrestle House stuff. I've liked Impact a lot more since they stopped doing all the stupid Sue Young and the Underworld crap. I like the acquisitions they've made between EC3, Anderson Gallows, Heath even. I like Brian Myers. I mean, that's a guy whose podcast I listen to pretty often. I think they've been doing pretty solid. The unfortunate thing is nothing has broken through. There haven't been many things that make me go, hey, everybody, you need to watch this. Victory Road was fun, but I think they got to start having unbelievable, uninterrupted matches that get the buzz of the people. And I love the Rich Swann, Eric Young stuff. I love it. Zach says, Kota Ibushi's contract expires in 2021. Have there been talks of him re-signing with the company? I do not know. I know that New Japan want to re-sign him. Zach says, how much of an influence did Harold May play as a part of re-signing Kota Ibushi back in 2019? I'm not sure. I'll have to ask about that. I can't pretend to know Kota Ibushi's motives. Again, I don't speak his language, so I don't really get to talk to him. I do have intermediaries with some of the people in Japan that will tell me some of the stuff, but I think that Harold May leaving will not cause many, if anyone, to leave. I'll say that much on the roster. Ben Williams says, I don't know much about Eva Lee, so I was wondering what the talk of her historical attitude issues are referring to. Casey, the late Casey Michael, Squared Circle Sirens, is one of the people that really would bring this out a lot, and I would always hear that she had attitude issues in FCW. However, a lot of people, including myself, would chalk it up to the fact that Eva Lee was in a diva era, being told to work like a diva, and she would rather tell people like Bill DeMott to piss off. She was right to do that. She should have been learning how to actually wrestle, and Bill DeMott was trash at his job. However, those issues didn't just extend there. There were some other ones. I have never had an issue with Eva Lee. However, I don't have issues with almost anybody that has perceived attitude issues. And I've come to realize in the last year or two that the reason I don't is because why would they have an attitude issue around someone whose job it is to report if they have attitude issues or not? I'm going to have mainly pleasant interpersonal communication with these people. So I can't say that I've had any interactions with her like that. Have I heard of them? Yes, I have. And I've heard of them in AEW as well. And if you guys have listened to this show, you know how much I beat the drum for a year straight. When anybody said, Sean, what women should get signed? I said, Eva Lee and Diamante, every single time. And I said, Mercedes Martinez before she did get signed. Those were the main three. Eva Lee has an opportunity. And hopefully she does well with it because she can be an outstanding performer. I think she can be one of the best performers in wrestling, in women's wrestling, if all that is straightened up. Ben also says, do you have to have many discussions with Jimmy before working outside shows like Inside the Ropes? I imagine it's potentially good promotion for Fightful Select. Yes, and that is the primary reason in which we do it. So, I am 100% Fightful. I've mentioned before, I've gotten some very nice offers to go elsewhere, and even though they were like really mind-blowing financial offers. I like what we've done at Fightful. I like talking to you guys, and I like the freedom that I have at Fightful. I get to do NBA draft podcasts if I want, and so, like, I get to write some serious articles, some joke articles. I don't have a ton of direction. It is our vision, and I say our vision, me, Jimmy, Jeremy, Carlos, Robert, David, Shaquille, Denise, Alex, Warren, all these people, we get to throw our creative vision in there. Now, over the last 6 months, obviously, I've been doing a lot of UK-based stuff. WrestleTalk, I had some talks with them last year. I heard them out about some stuff, and I really like those guys. If you couldn't tell, I'm very fond of Ollie Davis and Luke and Louie and Adam. I really like those people. I had never really spoken to Adam before Quizlemania, but I just accepted the Quizlemania thing because, yeah, sure, why not? I'll do that. And then it became a more regular thing. I had to tell Jimmy that I was doing it because we'd have to push our show back an hour whenever I would. And I can't even begin to tell you what kind of a different audience that opened me up to. I mean, just I didn't have any idea what little footprint we had in the UK. And beyond that, I like those people and I like their audience a whole lot. They're very entertaining. They're very funny. They're very nice. I like the way they do business. They're good to me. And I really, really like that. And Jimmy is all thumbs up about it too. He sees the benefits of that. But I did have to get his permission to do that. I also made sure to get his blessing about writing for the magazine. I'd never done print writing. So that's something that I wanted to do. I came along in a digital age, and it was very important for me. I'd like to do something with PWI as well, just because that's something I grew up reading. But if I'm going to do something outside of Fightful these days, it's primarily going to be based out somewhere outside of North America, if that makes any sense. I don't foresee myself doing anything like that with anybody based here. Now, I get it. A lot of it is digital, so it's more worldwide than ever before. But out of respect to Jimmy Van and what he's doing, I only really want to do stuff like that in the UK. And because I have taken extra work doing Quizlemania and WrestleTalk magazine, and I've done more stuff on Select than ever before, and now the Inside the Ropes thing, I'm not doing many, if any, podcasts, like outside podcast appearances, because quite frankly, if you guys want to hear me talk, my God, the Raw show, the SmackDown show, Listing Your Boy, post pay-per-view, backstage report, Q&A, my NXT AEW review, there's plenty of places to hear me talk. Monday Night Live with Kenny McIntosh. I've got enough outlets like that. So I know this was a long-winded question, and some of you don't give a fuck, but I felt like I owed a pretty good answer because I've had people saying, "Oh, are you leaving Fightful for Inside the Ropes, or leaving Fightful for WrestleTalk?" I love WrestleTalk. I love Inside the Ropes. I love working with Kenny McIntosh. That show Mondays, every Monday at roughly 4-5 p.m. Eastern. But yeah, the way that he pitched it to me was, yeah, we can do it and promote Fightful Select, and I got Jimmy's blessing on it. Now, there was a bit of confusion when it first launched, but then Jimmy was like, oh, okay, it's like a half-hour show, it's audio, we like Kenny McIntosh, no big deal, this is cool. So yeah, I do have to get I don't know if I have to get his blessing, but I do get his blessing on stuff like that out of respect to what he's done, because there were a lot of years Fightful did not make money and he trusted my vision. So I want to be respectful to him in that regard. And I ain't never leaving Fightful. They got to fire me. Jake says, would the timing of the draft make more sense after WrestleMania than towards the end of the year? And does a shakeup work better than a full draft? I think that considering that they've got a lot of people that come up after WrestleMania, I think it makes more sense to do it in the fall now. It's also less stale. You've got about half a year of fresh matchups there before WrestleMania as opposed to going the full year, if you know what I mean. I think it's dependent on the situation. I think that right now WWE has done so many repeat matches that they should just go to the draft method. Nobody knows what a shakeup is. There ain't nobody that's sitting there watching an NFL game on Sunday who says, oh, the shakeup, I'm going to watch that. There might be some that go, a draft? Cool, I'll check it out. Last year, your boy, Humberto Carrillo, was the guy drafted higher and was used immediately. Is there lesser known guys on the roster in 205 Live that you see getting that opportunity? Ricochet, maybe. I could see Swerve Scott getting the call up, and I think that he would do really well. That's the main one from 205 Live that I think. Isaiah Swerve Scott. Yeah, Isaiah Swerve Scott could be a good one. How much has BTE helped get the Dark Order over with fans, especially Silver and Anna Jay? Those two are constant highlights every week. It changed the narrative of them. Much like what T-Bar was doing on Twitter with Retribution, it makes you realize, oh, this stable doesn't actually suck. It's just the execution on screen that often does. John Civek says, any update on Finn Balor? No, I reached out to WWE multiple times. Have you heard any talk of any of the current free agents signing anywhere? Who do you think will be the next big debut we see on any of the major companies? Well, EC3 is going to Ring of Honor. I have only heard of WWE having more interest in Tessa Blanchard than AEW, but that's because AEW didn't have any interest from what I had understood. I wouldn't be shocked at all to see Tessa Blanchard head back to Impact or end up in Ring of Honor. I don't know that she's got a ton of options right now. John says, what are your thoughts on WWE employees possibly unionizing? Do you think it could actually happen? I personally think it would be great and is long overdue. I do think they should do like a WWE Players Association, so to speak, because there are some hiccups there, but I think that they should have pensions, they should have health coverage, they should have a lot of that stuff, and yes, they should do it. 100% they should do it. Matt Hookie says, do you have any update on Lars Sullivan? Internally, WWE thought he was going to be back by March, and he ain't back. I don't know. I have not heard from him. I haven't heard from anybody that has heard from him. He used to speak pretty openly to his fans and stuff like that, and I've not heard a peep from him, but I will find out. Arturo says, any word on Austin's podcast? Why is it still on retro episodes? Wish I had an answer for that. I was not given an answer. I asked Podcast One why and wasn't given an answer. There have been rumors for a while that he's got vested interest in Podcast One. I don't know if he does or not, but man, I would figure, especially during this era, that him having new, fresh material would be big. I mean, you got more people listening to podcasts probably than ever. He did pop up with Charlotte today, so I'm hoping like maybe that's a sign that he's doing new podcasts again. Because let me tell you, that Stone Cold, that Broken Skull Sessions that he did with Kurt Angle, I've heard a dozen Kurt Angle interviews, and that's the best one I've ever heard. It was great. Two guys that had history with each other, a great deal of respect for one another, that liked each other's work. I thought that was very cool. Ray says, any update on Camille? I know she's been doing fitness competitions, but with NWA working with AEW, do you think we see her there? NWA isn't working with AEW. They loaned AEW Thunder Rosa. AEW, as far as I know, didn't have any interest in doing like some giant talent exchange or anything. I don't think we'll see her there until her deal's up. Then maybe. Io's still with the title. Rhea called her shot. Then we got Tony and Ember returning, basically doing the same thing. Think we're headed to a fatal four-way? Yeah, probably, because that's what NXT does. They make sure that every single person loses a title shot. That way, nothing is new in that regard. That's a very frustrating thing that NXT does. Instead of just building up a challenger, they're like, fatal four-way, fatal five-way, gauntlet match, battle royal ladder match. Come on, man. Yeah, I think it'll happen. What's been your favorite new saying you've developed during No Profanity September? What was your most Ned Flanders moment? I like to say heckin' a lot, but I curse much less now, and I'm very glad that I do. Who do you think beat Shayna and Nia for the tag titles? Asks Sean. Well, I did think it was going to be Riot Squad. Now I don't see anybody. Maybe Raquel and Dakota. Who should Asuka's next challenger be? It should be Bianca Belair. Nobody else on that roster makes sense, so they better move Bianca over to SmackDown. But they've been running vignettes for her on Raw, so... Which NXT superstars do you see moving in the draft? Velveteen Dream, because a lot of people don't like him in NXT. Can't say that a lot of people like him on the main roster either, but I see him moving. Johnny Gargano, Candice LeRae, those are the main ones. Arthur Steele says, if you could reset WWE with their championships, what titles would you keep, get rid of, or introduce? That's a great question. To simplify things, I would have made them continuations of other titles. I would have made the UK Championship a continuation of the European title. I would have made the 24/7 title a continuation of the Hardcore title. But, you know, just for title histories and stuff, maybe. I like the number of titles they have. A women's title, tag titles, mid-tier, and then a top title on each show. So I actually don't hate that. I don't dislike that. However, I would not have made it the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. I would have just kept it the WWE Cruiserweight Championship and made that like a golden ticket as well to get on every brand. Personally, I think that a lot of the champions should have the ability to jump brands if they want. I don't want to consolidate. I want each show to have their own individual champions. But if they want to jump brands, I would be okay if that was like the golden ticket. Like, hey, you win this, you get that opportunity. I kind of like the amount of titles they have now. You got to remember, they've got a bunch of different brands. They got Raw, SmackDown, NXT, 205 Live, UK. I would want the NXT tag titles defended on 205 Live here and there, if you could. Because why not? If you got a couple of cruiserweights that have the title, might as well. Now, Fandango's like 235 pounds, so he ain't it. But if it were like Legado del Fantasma, sure. I like them how they are. And that's mainly because they've got so many different brands. However, look over at New Japan. They've got one brand, and they've got a heavyweight title, IC title, US title, open weight, junior heavyweight, tag team, junior heavyweight tag team, open weight, and then the King of Pro Wrestling Championship. I would do away with the King of Pro Wrestling Championship. I would consolidate. Here's the thing. You can have the never open weight six mans, but consolidate it with Ring of Honors. Make it like a governing entity. I would consolidate the junior heavyweight and the heavyweight tag team titles. And I would probably consolidate the IC and the US title. They've got way too many. Way too many. They need about two or three less titles because they've got one brand. Kangle says, after watching their match on Raw, I'm worried they'll be splitting Ruby and Liv up in the draft. Have you heard anything about this? I've heard nothing about them splitting them up, but it wouldn't shock me one bit because they just do dumb stuff like that. Paige is clearly unhappy in WWE, but isn't being used on TV and can't wrestle. Would it be easier for her to quit? Or wouldn't it be easier for her to quit? No, Kangle, I think it'd be awful easy for her to sit around and collect that six-figure-a-year salary while still doing her third-party stuff. I think it'd be very easy for her to do that. Yeah. Do you think WWE sells their network to a streaming service before Mania next year? No. If this question would have been posed to me before the pandemic, I would have said yes by WrestleMania 2021. I would have thought they would, but I don't know. Raul Ortega says, what's the match that got you into wrestling? I was 4.5 years old, February 6, 1990. It was the Four Horsemen, Ric Flair, Ole Anderson, Arn Anderson, against Gary Hart International in a cage match. The Dragon Master Buzz Sawyer and the Great Muta. I remember seeing Ric Flair standing on a turnbuckle in the corner, and I saw that bright blonde hair. I remember seeing the Great Muta on the opposite turnbuckle with that face paint. And then I remember seeing Sting scale the cage in that face paint. And I was like, what on earth is going on? What is happening? What? I had no idea what was going on, but I knew that I loved whatever it was that I was seeing. I don't know if I saw that as it aired. I don't know if I saw a replay or whatever it was, but it was Clash of the Champions 10 Texas Shootout. The match, I don't remember anything about it. I remember seeing Ric Flair. I remember seeing Great Muta and Sting. For years, I thought it was the Road Warriors until I think it was David Bixenspan helped me find the match. And yeah, that was it. And honestly, it was people like the Ultimate Warrior, Road Warriors, Sting, the face paint and the colors, and it just looked so cool. The rockers, I loved the little slits in the back of Hulk Hogan's shirts. It was different and cool and fun, and from that moment on, I just wanted to watch wrestling all the time. It has never changed. I've always loved wrestling since that day. Roel says, were you a WCW or WWF guy during the Monday Night Wars? More of a WWF guy. I was always more of a WWF guy from the entertainment aspect, more of a WCW guy from the wrestling aspect until the Monday Night Wars. I love WCW Saturday Night. I really enjoyed it, but WWF is just more fun. What's AEW's roof looks like if they stay on Wednesday opposed and unopposed? Opposed, I think their roof is about, I think they can hit 1 million. Unopposed, I think they can get back to 1.2, 1.3 in a year. Matt Payne says, if you could make an all-star traditional Survivor Series match, past versus present, who would you have on the teams? At this point, it'd mainly be people that I miss watching wrestle because I don't get to watch them wrestle anymore. Shawn Michaels, I'm just telling you right now, I wouldn't have specific teams. I would just pick 10 guys that I miss watching wrestle. Shawn Michaels, Eddie Guerrero, Marty Jannetty, because he was one of my favorites growing up, Too Cold Scorpio, a prime Shelton Benjamin, a 2002-2003 Brock Lesnar, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Sting, and probably a prime Undertaker. Adam Darwin says, do you see any NXT stars in the draft? Yes, I think there will be some in the draft. I don't know if NXT will be in the draft. Matt Payne says, any idea on when Sonya will return and what brand she'll be affiliated with? No, I've heard nothing about that. I don't think that they're really worried about that at this time. Matt asks how I would utilize the stacked NXT women's division with the additions of Ember and Tony. Would I move a few up to SmackDown? Boy, would I ever. Well, you got to remember, you don't have Tegan Knox for a year. Shotzi is still establishing herself. They are treating Xia Li terribly, badly. I would imagine Rhea Ripley loses her title opportunity or gets it screwed away from her. Candice and Rhea, I think, are moving up. And you still got a loaded division. But Candice and Rhea, I see moving up. It would not shock me one bit if Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter got moved up just out of nowhere. Or Aaliyah. Wouldn't shock me at all. But yeah, and it doesn't hurt NXT to lose them either. Are there any plans for Samoa Joe to get back in the ring? If he's healthy, he's a tremendous boost to any show. I've not heard anything about his career being over. I'll say that. I've not heard anything about his career being over, and I have asked, but I have also not been told anything about if he's returning, if he's still hurt, anything like that. RJ says, do you know if the whole third-party thing in the WWE affects talent with Patreons and clothing brands? Yes, it does. There have been multiple WWE stars that have shut down their Patreon, and I've talked to at least one wrestler associated with a clothing brand that has said that they are a little bit hesitant to do that work and they're not sure how it'll affect them. RJ says, for example, Aleister Black has Blackcraft. Orton launched his. That's his wife's, I think. Chelsea Green has a Patreon. Johnny Candice have merch on Pro Wrestling Tees. I don't think you'll see stores up on Pro Wrestling Tees anymore. I think they're going to shut those down. Oliver says, where does Velveteen Dream go from here? Aside from his trouble, I'm not sure what else he can accomplish in NXT. Well, he could accomplish a lot in NXT. He's never been champion or world champion. He's never been tag champion. I think he'll go to the main roster because they think that a more broad audience means that a lot of the criticisms will get lost in the shuffle. So I think that he'll probably head back up there. Young Bibby says, did you enjoy Sheamus' babyface world heavyweight title run in 2012? That is very much like a are you a fan of question. No, I did not. I did not like it whatsoever. I thought they tried to make him a stand-up comedian, and he ain't funny, at least as they booked him. Otherwise, I'm sure he's a charming dude. In the last 10 years, who do you think was the best booked stable or faction in WWE? For me, it's The Shield. Yeah, it was definitely The Shield. I think it can't even come close. Do you think by summer of 2021, WWE will start traveling to different arenas for Raw and SmackDown? Yes, I do. When do I expect full capacity of fans again? Probably by late next year. Oliver says, any plans for a Bo Dallas return? I want to just reiterate this or specify this. I don't mind Bo Dallas. I have very limited interaction with the man. Nothing but great. Nobody was hitting me up mentioning anything about missing Bo Dallas or I thought it was Bo Dallas. I miss him. I need him. I got to have him back. They do this motorcycle gimmick and all of a sudden people are like, what you mean it's not Bo? Oh, they never said it was going to be Bo. They never did anything to indicate to you that it was going to be Bo Dallas. And I'm not talking to you directly, Oliver, so apologies if it seems that way. But there were so many people that's like, not Bo Dallas? I can't imagine a world where anybody was like, man, that was Ember Moon and not Bo Dallas? I'm so disappointed. I didn't like Bo Dallas's work in NXT. Didn't like it outside of NXT. I wish the man nothing but good and success and health, but he took some time off a year ago and he has not come back and I have not really heard anything about him. I know he wanted to go on an expedition of sorts is what I was told, and I don't know where he's been since then. He pops up on social media here and there, I've noticed, but yeah, it's pretty low-key. Ron Patel says, did Ben Carter travel from the UK during the pandemic and got his visa, or was he in the States not working before his AEW debut? Any word on Pac? No word on Pac, but if all these other people are coming over, I gotta believe Pac will be soon. Ben Carter was in the States already, but doesn't have his visa yet. Eric says, hey, Sean, what are the chances of Retribution being a part of the draft? They're under contract, right? I'm putting way more thought into this than WWE has, right? I'm sure they thought about it, but I think they'll just stay on Raw. Any Tessa Blanchard updates? No. She's wrestling again. She's in the States. She can sign wherever the hell she wants, but no real updates. Who would you like to see from Raw and SmackDown go to NXT? AJ Styles. If Humberto is not going to team with Dominic, I want to see him go there and join Legado del Fantasma. And Chad Gable. We spoke about this on Monday Night Live with Kenny McIntosh on Inside the Ropes if you all want a more in-depth answer, but those are the main ones. Do you think there will be other stars on the main roster who are already underutilized join Retribution, or is the group size good enough now? I think there will be some more underutilized names, yes. Ben says, hey Sean, how far up the card, if Retribution storyline is a success, can Ali go? I think Ali can be a main eventer. I don't think they'll make him the guy. But, yeah. And Arturo says, what's with the comments on the Triple H media call? While others are asking their questions, never hear you do that on TK's. Guy, you are the same person who has asked a million times, Tony Khan's Mark media calls. Just admit you've got a fucking Tony Khan voodoo doll at this point. The reason I do that is to watermark our call. We had so many people stealing our audio and posting it as their own. And you know why we don't do that on Tony Khan's? How many audio calls have you heard from Tony Khan? Like one or two? Oh, do you mean the videos? You mean the media scrums that I personally attend and there are videos of? Or do you mean the ones digitally that last about 15 minutes? I'm struggling to think of any time besides the conference call before All Out where he's had that. And you know, the difference is AEW sends audio of those out to people. So outlets, whether they are on the call or not, don't need to lift that from us. And I don't do it while people are asking questions. I do it after a question or before a question. So Arturo, while I greatly appreciate your subscription, I do not appreciate your constant, transparent insinuation that for some reason we're nicer to AEW. No, AEW sends out the audio to the media. You don't got to lift it from Fightful if you do that. But if people are going to lift the audio of a Triple H media call from Fightful like happened dozens of times before, well, they're going to get me whispering sweet little Fightful.com FTF in their ear. But really, your weird hate boner for Tony Khan has been abundantly clear because it's the only thing you've asked about for a month now. Thank you for subscribing. Brendan Richardson says, over under 6 months till Retribution is gone. I'd say over. I'll say over. If you mean 6 months from now, I think definitely an over because WrestleMania is less than 6 months away. But yeah. Brendan says, if you could guess a rough percentage of current WWE wrestlers who won't re-sign when their contract is up, what would be your guess? I would say probably 10% based on those that I speak with. Brian says, at this point, who would you call AEW's most disappointing signing? Disappointing to them, a lot of the early female signings, I don't think were exactly what they had anticipated. Overall, I'd have to say Awesome Kong just because she couldn't physically go and they wanted more out of her. She was a wonderful woman, but yeah, I think that they thought that they would get more out of her than what they did. Brian says, after WWE's third-party edict, have you heard from any talent who said that they will not re-sign with the company as a result? Yes, I have. Multiple. Any plans to add other members to Retribution? I have not heard of any, but that I had also not heard of any as of a week ago, too. Brennan says, following up, could you give a couple big-time names that you don't see re-signing with WWE? I would be surprised if Chad Gable re-signed. I would be pretty surprised there. Before the move to NXT, I would have said Ember Moon as well. Just my hunch. Thank you guys so much for all the questions. Sorry for getting catty towards the end of this show, but it is very annoying when I get the same thinly veiled question posed three different ways where somebody's trying to shit on another person. You know. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate you all. If you have any other content ideas for us, I would love to hear them. Until next time, we're out.